Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. I have got a great show ready for you guys today with my dear friend Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling in to you live today from the Ozarks. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello, hello from the Ozarks. Yes, absolutely. It's an amazing day out here. It's rather hot, as it's been, but it's still just an amazingly awesome day to be alive and out here serving people, changing lives, just having a great time.
It's pretty gosh darned hot over here, too. Watching Hotel Impossible last night, I am finding that I absolutely love that show. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen that one, but there's a kitchen-related one that I've been watching and enjoying that one, too.
You would love this one. This one is, there's this guy that's got a lot of hotel-y experience, and he goes around the country talking to hotel owners about what to do to improve their business.
Mm-hmm.
So both from a marketing perspective and a service perspective, what can they do to improve their hotels? And the guy comes in and, like, he brings this whole team with him. They'll come in and they'll completely redo the lobby. They'll redo the swimming pool. They'll redo what they do in the rooms. They'll redo how the front office is run. They'll redo the website. And literally in under 72 hours, completely transform this entire business from one that's on the verge of bankruptcy to one that's massively, wildly successful.
Yep.
Anyway, I was watching that last night. There were three episodes on back-to-back, and all of them were hotels in either the Branson or Ozark area, and I kept looking, going, do I see Rhonda anywhere?
Well, I certainly don't stay in many hotels out in this area since I live here. But there was one they keep talking about in the paper, and it's great. It really turned their business around. I mean, they got so much business after that. And I love those kind of shows. To me, are very interesting because you get a lot of insights, don't you, into the business and the people. And, I mean, just so many different aspects that you can relate to your own life no matter what kind of business you're in.
You really do. It was really – I absolutely love that show, and I just discovered it, like, Memorial Day weekend. They had a marathon, all the episodes replayed. And boy, what a great, great show for getting some great marketing ideas.
Yeah. There's a restaurant Impossible that I like. I caught it and I thought, oh, let me see what this is. And I've really enjoyed that one. Of course, my friends just opened a restaurant recently, but I really do get a lot of insight and that you can take. For example, I noticed that this is the same exact thing that you're talking about, except to restaurants rather than hotels, where they're about to go bankrupt and they're, you know, having problems with service and this and that and the other thing. It's the same exact idea. And so one thing I noticed is, for example, that when there are people, restaurant owners who give the inventory job to somebody else, let's say a manager or whatever, that's one of the big things that gets them into trouble. And And I was talking to my friend who is the, you know, co-owner, my friend and her husband are owners, and she was kind of grumbling about inventory, and I said, you know, I'll just tell you, don't ever outsource the, or give that piece off to a manager or to anybody else other than you or David, I said, because every restaurant show I've ever seen where there's a restaurant in trouble, one of the big issues is they didn't like to do inventory, so they gave it to a manager. But the manager doesn't have the same investment in the business. So it's
really
just how we see there's certain parts of your business that you can outsource or hand off to a team member or whatever, and there are some things you should keep your own hands into. It's the exact same type of thing.
Very, very true.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we have lined up for our listeners today?
Well, you know, we really enjoy doing shows where we pull in some of these clips from past shows, because I'll tell you, there are some really good nuggets of wisdom and some great stories from people. And I was going back through some of our archives, since I've been here for a couple of years now at this point, so it's hard to believe that. And we've had some amazing shows, and I was listening and pulling some clips, and I thought, man, there are some things we just really want to share. And also to remind people, you know, take a peek sometimes through the archives, because there could be just exactly the type of thing that would really help you. And just as an example, now I didn't pull a clip from Denise Wakeman's show yet, but we had Denise Wakeman, and that was a really good show where she talked a lot about blogging and social media and everything. And one of the tips that, you know, you hear it and you go, oh, yeah, that's right. I kind of vaguely remember that. I hadn't thought about that. But, for example, Denise Wakeman was talking about a little Facebook tip that when she will pull in an RSS feed to her page for Facebook, but she does not post it to her wall automatically because it doesn't get seen anyway, but by just pulling it into her page and letting there be a tab for most recent articles and then posting things manually, she can get more seen and still get the Google juice for having the feed pull into her Facebook. So I just wanted to mention, if you're using social RSS, or I use RSS for pages or, you know, network blogs or any of that, that might be just a cool thing to keep in mind.
That is a good idea.
So that was more of a mechanical tip, which is why I didn't really pull the clip for today, but just wanted to mention, because we've been talking Facebook and various aspects of social media and how to get your stuff seen and shared and whatever recently. So I thought it would be a good tip to mention.
I definitely agree.
Yeah.
So how would you like to start this this show out?
I am getting to the clip right now. Sorry, just a second here. So, I want to start off today with a clip that is from Dr. Diana Kirshner. And we've had her a couple of times, and boy, those were both great shows. So
one of my favorite guests of all time. That was, both
yeah.
shows were just incredible.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, there was one piece of one of the shows where she was really talking about her passion and how something that she loved to do got really big. And this is how. This is about a 6-minute clip, but it's really got some great gems in it. So here we go with Dr. Diana Kirshner.
Well, Love in 90 Days was my first book, and it was very, very, very exciting. It became a bestseller. It hit the bestseller lists in Denver and San Francisco and on Amazon, and has been really, really awesome in terms of being able to help people create love in their lives, and especially women. So there's been thousands of women from all over the world who have responded to that book. And what happened was that book really taught them how to really go into the dating world, no matter what their age, no matter what their weight, their age, whether they had kids. Go into the dating world and actually create either an adventure, a wonderful dating adventure, which is kind of like going back to high school but being popular, or, you know, really finding the one. And what happened was a lot of them were emailing me and saying, you know, I found the one and now I'm being impatient. I don't know what to do. I want to seal the deal. I want to move forward. Other women were emailing me and saying, you know, I already have a relationship and how, you know, how do you really keep things going? That's when I decided to write Sealing the Deal, The Love Mentor's Guide to Lasting Love. And this book, basically, it just came out now. It's been very, very exciting. This book basically, you know, tells you whether you've been dating someone special or you've been on and off for 10 years or you're living together or married and you need a little help. Sealing the Deal will help you move things forward and ignite or reignite the sparks that bring lovers together. So I'm very, very excited about this book. It's been fantastic, really, really fantastic. There's been tremendous buzz about it, and it's already been an Amazon bestseller, and it's been very helpful to the people who have been reading it.
And when we last met, you had the book, but the book didn't necessarily lead into anything else that could make you money. And I'm pretty sure that at that point you either had no website or you just had a very simple website that wasn't really doing much for you.
I actually had a website. I had had beginning of brand recognition, but I was not monetizing it in a way
that
where I could monetize it. Although I did actually get a huge advance. I got a very fat six-figure advance from a publisher for these two books. Yeah.
That almost never happens anymore.
Yeah. Well, that was in 2007. And the way that happened was I happened to be on WOR radio show talking about my Love in 90 Days boot camps and how the women were finding love and how amazing it was. And two very high-powered literary agents called me. Yeah, they were competing for me because they knew that I had something that worked that was unique. You know what I'm saying? And I went with one of them, and then she was such a pain in the butt. I mean, I adore her, but she was such a pain in the butt because she made me rewrite the proposal for Love in 90 Days maybe about 10 times. I'm not kidding.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. It is a pain in the butt.
Yeah. And then she says to me, it's ready now, and we will sell it at auction.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I'm staggered, right? She says, they have 3 days to meet with you. We'll only go to the top publishing houses. And then on Thursday at noon, we're selling it at auction. And I'm like, I never had that happen before, I'll tell you that much. And we had the meeting. And then on Thursday at noon, I was sitting there, and she came, and she called, and she gave me all the offers, and each one was better than the next. And then the last one was this fat six-figure advance. And she said, this is the one you're going to want to take. And I just was floored. It was just amazing. It was just really, really awesome. And, you know,
I want to say that's amazing.
That came out of was me really doing what I love and just talking about it in every possible avenue that I could talk about it, so getting the word out. You know, that came out of that. You know, I love doing the Love in 90 Days boot camps and helping these single women find real love, and I was just ecstatically happy about it. And I think, you know, out of that mission of helping people, all of this success has come. That's why I really wanted to talk to you guys, because relationship marketing is, especially now, is your key to success with everything, really.
It really is. It's not about selling anyone anything. It's about really serving them in a way that makes a difference, in a way that fuels your passion.
Yeah.
And that's what really gets results in a big way.
Yes, yes, yes.
That. Love that little chunk.
That was
curvy.
An awesome clip, and you cut it just at the right point. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I know. I had to work at that a little bit to get that just right at the end. But yeah,
good job on that one, Rhonda.
Thank you. Yeah, when the blind girl does audio editing, it gets interesting.
Too funny.
Oh, yeah. But, boy, that was great. I mean, both of those shows, those are will forever rank among my very favorites that we have ever done. In the time that I've been a part of this show, those were just brilliant interviews, both.
And it was so incredible during those two episodes to really see that what you do to improve your love relationships really isn't even a little bit different than what you do to improve the relationships you have with your prospects and customers. It is 100% identical. And I know that actually came as a big surprise to me. I had expected that during those two shows, we would look at what people do to grow their love relationships and contrast that to what you do to grow your business relationships, but that they would be totally different things. And they weren't at all. And it surprised Diana, too.
Yeah, and it was funny because I remember when I was looking at the table of contents for Sealing the Deal, which is her second number one best-selling book, I was looking at that going, yeah, this sounds a lot like relationship marketing. But it really was cool to watch the evolution of how those connections were made so strongly. And really and truly, she could write a Sealing the Deal for business or whatever, you know, and really have it be different stories, but the same exact 8 steps that she outlines in her book, Sealing the Deal. So it's really very good. And there's a clip we'll play a little bit later that was one of her tips that's really relevant for business and going to be valuable for people. So I'm excited about that too. But yeah, I mean, that's just so cool to think about it. You've often related the process of a person getting to know you and your business and equated that to the dating relationship, little realizing exactly the depth of how true that is, not only for the sort of courtship and to getting married part, but to that whole long-term maintenance aspect of the relationship.
Exactly. It's a really big deal.
It really is.
And just like in a dating relationship, if you try and go from, okay, we're on a blind date, to, okay, let's get married and have babies all on the same date, doesn't work so well. In fact, if anything, it usually makes your blind date run the opposite direction. The same is really true in your business. If you try and go from having someone find you on a search engine to getting them to your site, to bringing them into your $10,000 coaching program all in the same visit, it doesn't work very well there either. It's no different.
It's exactly true. And I think I'm sure that many people have had the experience of you're on a date with somebody, maybe you've been on 3 or 4 dates, and maybe they get a little bit more fresh with you than you want them to, you know what I'm saying? And so it's exactly the same thing, you know, in terms of business, that don't get fresh with someone until they're ready.
Really, really true.
And the only way you know if they're ready is to just be tuned in and to listen and to be in service. So really good. And then that whole sealing the deal and then, okay, you know, now what? Once you do find that person, once somebody does invest in whatever product or service or program they're going to invest in, really keeping it alive through continuing to nurture the relationship is very, very powerful. And it's fun how closely related they are, isn't it?
It really is.
When you think of how long you and your husband have been married, and if you were to think about one tip from your marriage that has been really helpful also in your business, what might that be, since there is such a close relationship, and you have been together for a long time?
We really have. Let me think about that one for a minute.
Sure.
What is a good example of that? I got to think about that for a couple of minutes, Rhonda. I've never really thought about that before, but it's a very, very good question to ask.
Okay. Well, that's all right. You can chew on that one, and we can come back to it later. How is that?
That sounds great, because it's not one thing. There are so many examples of things that are true in my business. Oh, here's a really good one. If I really, really, really want to go to a restaurant, my favorite thing to do is to go out for Italian food. My husband can take Italian food about once a month, maybe once every other week. Certainly not like 5 or 6 days in a row, which is what I would prefer. When I know that I really have a taste for Italian food, I can't just go out there and say, honey, let's have Italian food if we had it yesterday, because my answer is going to be no.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can get Bill to come up with the idea on his own and have Bill say, honey, how about we have Italian food tonight? That is going to work oh so much better. So what do I do to make him think about that? I'll think about an Italian restaurant that I know he was raving about and say something like, oh, you know, honey, I was just thinking about it. Boy, you absolutely loved that dish at Nino's last time we were there, didn't you? And he'll go, you know, maybe we should go there for dinner tonight, because he's thinking about how savory that food was last time he was there. And any time I do that, I get my Italian food for dinner, guaranteed.
That's brilliant.
It's exactly the same thing in your business, right? If I want someone to come into my coaching program and I walk up to him and say, you need to spend $10,000 with me and come into my coaching program, they think I'm crazy. They run the opposite direction. On the other hand, if I can sit there and get them to think about all the successful people in the world who really have that success because of the coaches that they've had in their lives, and get them to think about the fact that they could have that same level of success if they had a coach like so-and-so did, they will come to me and say, you know, tell me more about your coaching program, without me having to bring the subject up at all.
Right. You caused a craving in them, just as you did in Bill, by mentioning, boy, you remember when you had that great whatever it was, you know, at Nino's, and you're talking about the dish and how much he enjoyed it and, you know, mop up the sauce with the bread or whatever kind of thing. The same thing you're doing in helping someone think of the successful people or the success that they want to have, and realizing that coaching is the way to get there, not trying to go it alone. You've caused them to have that desire.
And what you're really doing in both instances is telling stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why
oh,
we
yes.
talk about
okay,
storytelling so much. I mean, it really is all about the stories. You need to paint the picture that conveys the feeling, that gets your prospect to intimately experience what you as an expert know they need to do, so that it becomes their idea and not yours, for them to buy your low-end products, buy your high-end products, do the things you want them to do. And if you can tell stories that get them to feel, you will get them to take the action you want them to take every time.
Mm-hmm. Very, very powerful and so true. In both cases, it's just the same. And I'm sure that any man or woman who has gotten their mate or partner or friend or whatever to do something that they wanted has used a similar kind of tactic, getting them to, if it's worked anyway, you know, getting them to imagine how cool it would be to have that experience or do that or buy that program to get the result or whatever. Very powerful.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, as we're talking storytelling, I had this program from Get 10,000 Fans. They're package, and he was talking about your Facebook timeline as a way to tell a story. So that may be something folks hadn't thought about before.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. I hadn't thought about that before.
I hadn't either. And I was watching his storytelling video going, oh, I can't wait to see what he has to say. And I was like, huh, I'll be danged. I never thought of that way. I thought of telling stories that are in the post, yes. But, I mean, it hadn't even occurred to me to think of the whole timeline, the whole page as a means of storytelling based on, you know, the pictures and the things that are added and so forth. So I was like, well, I love it. I get to learn something new about storytelling. That's so cool.
Let's explore this just a tad more. Back
yes.
in the 1800s, the way that books were published was very different than the way that books are published today. Back then, books were not something that you read before you went to bed. Books were not something you brought with you because you were eating in a restaurant alone. Books were a big part of family entertainment. They didn't have electricity, so surely they didn't sit in front of the TV and watch their episodes of their favorite shows each night. What
right.
they did back then was they read books out loud as a family, and that
okay.
was the big form of family entertainment. So because of the technology that they had back then, it was much harder to publish a 500-page book than it was to publish a 10-page book. So authors would literally release one chapter at a time. One
uh-huh.
chapter would be bound into a book. It would be released this week. The family would start the book this week. Next week, chapter 2 would come out. They'd go get chapter 2. They'd do that one. And by the end of 12 weeks, they'd now gotten the whole 12-chapter book. Well, back in the 90s, a couple of really prolific authors decided to try that tactic to see if it could improve their book sales. The two biggies that I really noticed doing this were Stephen King and Dean Koontz. Both of them
mm-hmm.
horror story books.
Both right.
authors actually had multiple books that they released in that way. They had separate chapters every other week for a period of months. They'd release the next chapter. And each and every chapter was priced at $5.95. You could buy the entire soft paperback cover of a book for like $7.95. If they had 12 chapters times $5.95 each, $6, to buy that
wow.
whole book was $72 instead of $8. And yet they did it multiple times, they both sold hundreds of thousands of copies more than what they would typically have sold with just an $8 book.
Oh, that is so incredibly cool.
If you think about what happens in doing that, it's no different than what people do today with a membership site, is it? Releasing
no,
it in
exactly.
small, bite-sized chunks, getting
yep.
people to pay over and over and over again. From a monetization standpoint, it actually makes you one whole heck of a lot more money. Somebody who's
uh-huh.
bought the first three chapters cannot not buy the next seven chapters. If they've read three chapters, they're going to buy chapter four, no questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have to wait to get the next chapter, it really
right.
causes them to think about the author, want the author. They cannot wait for that next chapter to come out, where when they have the whole book, they sometimes don't even finish the book. I can't even count how many books I've started to read and never finished. Where releasing it in small bite-sized chunks, I'd read the whole thing cover to cover.
Yeah, and in fact, that's really true, Gina. It's for years, and it's really been, it's probably, if anything, worse rather than better. 75% of people read no more than 25% of any book.
Right. So you're not going to get people to consume more of your stuff unless they consume some of your stuff first. Mm-hmm. No different than toothpaste. Why do I want to buy another tube of toothpaste if I didn't even finish the first tube? Not going to happen.
Right.
So the way to really look at your business is, what can you do
A, to sell your stuff, and then B, to get people to consume your stuff so that they will want to see, buy more stuff from you.
Buy more stuff from you, yes. Exactly.
And that really is what you need to do in your business. If you only are good at selling them and never get around to getting them to consume it, you will have a very low lifetime value of each customer. You will have a very high budget for generating new customers because you constantly need a steady stream of new customers because you're not getting them to consume and buy again. You will be much more profitable if you have a way to continue making sales to the same customers over and over and over and over again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's very true, absolutely true.
And I would think that this whole idea of writing stories on a Facebook timeline would cause the same effect to happen. People will talk about you more. People will be waiting with bated breath, as they say, for the next installment of your timeline story to come out. They can't wait for the next piece because it's delivered over a period of time instead of all at once. What an awesome, awesome, awesome idea. And if you think
really
about
is.
Why that works so well, it's because of the relationships, isn't it?
Yeah. And he was talking about stories in different ways. It can be success stories. It can be, I mean, you know, certainly whatever new product has come out and that kind of thing. But it's mainly focusing on putting up the pictures, the successes, the different things, the big milestones, because they're now on Facebook, you can put in milestones. And so... you know, to reach a certain number of fans or sell a certain number of copies of your book or, hey, a new person just did X and got a success and here's their story and there could be a video or a photograph or, you know, whatever different kinds of things. And really thinking of it as your storyboard. That's very, very cool.
Interesting.
So yeah, I'm gonna
what other pearl of wisdom do we have today?
We have a few really awesome pearls of wisdom. So hang on one second while I look at the board here so that I can find the right thing. I want to share another clip from Dr. Diana, not just to only focus on her. We'll have some other things. But since we were talking about her, here is an issue that happens a lot in relationships and a lot in business when we talk about giving and what is the right amount of giving and is there too much and that kind of thing. So she has a piece about enlightened self-interest. It's one of her tips in her best-selling book, Sealing the Deal. So here is about a 3.5-minute clip from about enlightened self-interest.
Enlightened self-interest. In other words, you don't want to overgive, you know, and a lot of women will get into this position of overgiving and not asking for something back, you know. And when you're overgiving, it doesn't serve your client or your customer. It does not serve them. It really doesn't. And it doesn't serve you. And so for you to have enlightened self-interest, that is to ask for being paid what you're worth or being paid what your product is, you know, is worth in a kind and straightforward way is very, very important.
Let's give an example of this. I have a perfect example of this. When I first transitioned out of consulting into being a training business, I had a number of people who really couldn't afford the programs that I had available. And so in many cases, I really felt bad for them. I just gave them my high-end program. Well, it was really amazing to watch what happened. Rarely, in fact, never have I given someone the program and actually had them finish the entire course.
Yeah.
They don't have anything invested in it,
yeah.
So it doesn't mean anything to them, and they can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
So they just take what they want and leave and never get results. When I realized that that was happening, I started thinking about it from the standpoint of, if I really want to serve them,
what will serve them in a way that will allow them to get results. And so I created a scholarship program that was a need-based scholarship so that I would look at where their income was at, and I would make them pay 10% of what they're making. And they would never get a discount on the tuition. They would simply use the 10% as the tuition to get started, use what they learned to be able to make the money they really wanted to make, and from what they made, they would then pay back the balance of the tuition between the discounted amount and what it really costs. Doing it that way, I've never had a single person who didn't pay their tuition in full.
Mm-hmm.
What a difference when you're really doing this the right way in your business.
Yeah, and that is so, so helpful to these folks. So that you really allowed them to be successful or fostered them being successful.
And they worked even faster and harder than the other students who easily could afford the tuition.
Mm-hmm.
They often paid off their full tuition in advance of those who were on an installment program paying the full tuition over a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really interesting how that works. So
yeah.
One of our universal laws is that you must also be a cheerful receiver. You can't just always give. You've got to learn to receive. And without it, there is no flow of abundance.
Exactly.
So a really good principle to have.
Very good abundance tip and piece of wisdom there for sure.
Uh-huh.
And
absolutely.
I know it's one of the biggest issues people have is we talk about moving the free line and giving way more than is expected for free. And then there is that whole conundrum of how much is too much. And so the whole thing of enlightened self-interest really helps with that. And I can't tell you how many people have thought of or said that they wished, you know, whichever coach or person would give them their program, let them become successful and be the testimonial for them or whatever, when that's just really not how it works out, is it?
It really isn't.
So a big difference in looking at how you give and definitely being a cheerful receiver. It's just like if you imagine breathing out and keep going and then don't take anything in. You would die very quickly if you didn't receive. You're always in that mode of receiving your next breath and then giving back so that you can receive some more.
Love it.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what it's really about, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. And so it's good to give way more value than is expected, both in a paid product and in a free something, in a free challenge or a free mini course or whatever, membership, whatever it happens to be. And yet, just keeping that whole giving and receiving, that balance, just like inhaling and exhaling, it's all a balance.
Yep. No different in life than it is in business, is it?
That's the one thing is you take yourself everywhere you go. You take yourself, whether it's the bedroom, the bathroom, the boardroom, the conference room, which is my swing outside, anywhere in life or business, you take yourself along for the ride.
Pretty nifty.
Yeah. So I thought that was a good clip. I just wanted to share and as we're talking about building relationships, to remember that it should never be one-sided of either expecting too much or giving too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
in
a good
my opinion. I really don't think there is such a thing as giving too much.
Mm-mm.
As long as before you're going out and doing the giving, you have strategically put the pieces in place that allow you to monetize the giving, then you really can just go out and give, and trust that the money will follow. I think you run into the issue of giving too much
when you skip the first piece, and that is monetizing strategically.
Right.
I would much rather see someone who's giving away maybe a little bit too much rather than holding back. You know, I think about the traditional book launch model. Give away chapter one, sell them chapters 2 through 20. Well, you know, that doesn't really serve people very well. The piece you just gave them is usually the introduction or the foreword that really doesn't help them a whole heck of a lot in getting a flavor of the book. If you can instead give away, say, the introduction to each chapter so that they get an overview of the whole book and make them really hungry for the detail, the full picture of how to or whatnot, then you really do get people wanting it even more, buying it even more, and telling all their friends because you were the unique exception that didn't hold back, and you really did give them everything. You just did it at a very high level overview. You really have to keep in mind what people will pay for. People will pay for those things that help them save time, help them save money, help them make money, or fill some other emotionally compelling need that they have. If you can give them for free that high-level overview, then you can sell them the details, the flowcharts, the action step checklist, and your personal help in getting whatever you're sharing accomplished.
Right.
In that case, as long as you've got the pieces to monetize in place, you really can just go out and give to your heart's content, and the money really does follow.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. It's having that piece in place. I just had a conversation with a friend of mine, and I was telling him about my Awakened Author Challenge, and he said, "You're not just giving that away, are you?" I said, "Well, yes, I am, and I have ways to monetize it at the back, but I'm happy to give it away. Yes, it is a really valuable course, just like your I Am Challenge. It's a very valuable course. But, of course, the details and the personalized help and some of those other things are not part of that free course. It gives you everything you need at that high level. And it's because of having the rest of it in place that giving at that level works so beautifully."
Really does.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's one thing that we haven't talked about in a very long time, and I have such the perfect clip for it, and it comes from the fact that sometimes in really following what you feel like you should be doing and growing a business and whatever, there can be these really low points when things just do not seem to be going very well. I did an interview, and you were out of town or something for that show, but I did this terrific interview with Bob Kranst, who is a best-selling author, Falling in Love with Sophia, which is an excellent book, and also the movie Do You Want to Dance? And he was talking about some of the low points that became really amazing high points and how that happened. So let's have a little clip here from Bob Kranst. And you got to a point where you were thinking about giving the whole thing up, right?
Yeah, I you know, for me, what they would do is, I had sold I think 4 or 5 screenplays to the studios and Warner Brothers and 20th Century Fox and Columbia and so forth, and it was so frustrating that you would come in and everyone, "Oh my God, this is great," and we would have, you know, we'd go on location scouts and then meetings with Michael Douglas and other producers and so forth that made Terminator and all this sort of stuff. And everyone was so excited about it. Oh, man, we're, you know, they were paying me, too. They were paying me a lot of money. And then all of a sudden we'd get to the end, and there was no joke. I remember one day I came into one of the studios, and we were on our final draft, and we had Kevin Bacon was going to play the lead actor and so forth. I was going to co-star in it and wrote it and produce it and all that sort of stuff. And I remember we came in, and the studio was sitting across the chair from me, and he said, "Well, we're going to bring in another writer just to tweak it a little bit." And we came back a week later, and they had rewritten the entire script. And we kept saying, why did they do this? This was just... And it turned out behind his desk there was a balloon, and it said it had just been to Die Hard. Die Hard had just come out. And this is the way Hollywood thinks is, well, you know what? I think that's going to be a hit, so let's take your script and make it into Die Hard. And Kevin, to his credit, said, no way, I'm not doing that. And those experiences, seeing things flounder, get screwed up, pursuing some type of fad, it was so frustrating because it went into what they call development hell. And that's where, and at one point I finally said, you know what? First of all, I'm Greek, and Greeks tend to like to be in charge of their own destiny, you know? And there's
yeah,
a lot
kind
of
part of the culture.
It is, you know, Greeks, the models are, you know, own, don't rent, work for yourself, and all that, you know, that's where I was brought up. And I thought, I don't want to go through this anymore. I want to be the master of my own destiny as much as I can. And so we went off and I said, let's raise the money for Do You Want to Dance? And by hook and by crook, and I was making the movie, we were raising the money. I would come home from writing and producing and acting in the film. We'd come home and there'd be more people saying, okay, I want to invest in the movie. And it was crazy. But I knew what we were saying would have, it's like if you're going to pick a stock, you want to pick a stock that has long-term value versus something that looks like a fad. I knew what we were saying had long-term value about love and friendship and God and faith and love and dying and all those things. And so, and pursuing your dreams, those were the core issues of what I wrote about. So that's what we were writing about, and that's when I finally said, let's go make it ourselves.
Right.
That's what
I want to draw a couple of parallels for our audience here, in regarding to starting a business, which is what a lot of our folks are doing. And definitely like yourself, like the Greek culture, they typically want to be in charge of your own destiny. That's what the people that listen to this show are all into. They're not filmmakers, but they're into it from having their own business. And so, parallel I want to draw is that there are so many people who decide, okay, I'm going to build my business using the power of the internet. And they say, okay, fine. Oh, now the new fad. Oh, okay, this month someone puts out a big thing about doing things on Facebook. So now we're going to go Facebook. And the next month it's this big traffic. And now we're going to do traffic. And they go like, I call it tail chasing. You know how a dog will, run around, chasing their tail. That's what a lot of times people do because they go by the fad of the month. Instead of building strategically and building around message and building around purpose. The way that Gina Gaudio Graves is, the main host of Directions University, the host of the show and the dean and founder of Directions University, the way that she and I build businesses and the way that you decided to go with your movie was we don't follow the trends and the fads that build, or the trads, as I was about to say. I like that, trads. I like to make up words. But anyway, not to follow all of that, but to truly build strategically from a place of heart, from a place of purpose. That's what you did with the movie. You found the funding. You scrambled. I mean, and just like so many people, you're off making the movie going, I wonder how we're going to get this thing funded. And you come home and, there's another person who's willing to put in. So you find little by little that you get to build it. So.
Here to point to what you were just talking about, that what happened when we finished the film, we screened it for the studios, and it was for Columbia and Paramount, for everyone that was interested in the movie. And then the night we screened the film, there were 600 people there, and this was it. This was like the night of my life. And what happened about 10 minutes into the movie, the sound started going out, and no one knew what in the world was happening. And what happened was I ran up into the booth. The light bulb that projects through the film was burning out. And there's nothing we can do about it. And it was like seeing my life flash in front of me because we had everything. Everything was on the line. We had, I'd moved in. I just got married. I'd moved in with my mom. We had put every penny into this movie. And in 1 hour, it just went down the drain. And the studios thought that it was made poorly because he just the sound kept going in and out. They eventually switched the light bulb on the fly, but half the movie was over. And at one point after that, everyone started passing on it, and there was one company that called us up and said, "We're thinking about it." And I remember praying at the time, saying, "God, if they pass on it, I got to move on because I put so much of my life into this." And they ended up saying yes, and they took it to Cannes, and they ended up buying the foreign rights to it. And then they came back to America, and they said, okay, we're going to package this with a Val Kilmer and a Julie Roberts film and all this, and we're going to give it to Columbia. And this is what I was going to point to, what you were just talking about. My wife, I found out when we got back from Cannes, was pregnant with triplets.
So oh, my goodness.
We had no money. I had three kids on the way. I was living with my mom. We were actually in debt, and they were offering me to take my film to Columbia, and I called my friend Peter Nelson over there at the time, and I said, "Peter, what are you guys going to do with this?" He said, "Listen, we want these other films, and they're packaging it with yours, and we're going to come over here. We're not going to sell a whole lot of these things, but it'll look cool, and that's about it." And that's when I made a decision in my life that changed my life. I talked to my wife, and she was on complete bed rest. Had to gain 60 pounds, so, you know, we're having this conversation. I said, "I think I should start my own company and distribute this myself." And everybody said to me, "Are you nuts? You've got to be
right.
crazy. Who are you going to sell this to?" And by the way, there was no internet at that time. It was just starting to take off. And
right.
I just, something told me, stick to your guns. And there was somebody had some type of event, and they invited me to, and they said, "Bring your movie." I said, "But no one knows who I am." And I filled it with 20 videos that night. We sold it. And it was like $400, which felt like $1 million to us. And I thought, you know what? If I fail, at least I'm going to fail on my own ground. I don't want to be calling Columbia every 20 minutes and, "Hey, do we sell anymore? What are you going to do?" This way I can control my destiny, so to speak. And we then grew from that to now we send out about 325,000 catalogs a year. We were able to purchase our own buildings for our company, but it started with that decision, which was made in, you know, at the lowest point, but that was the beginning of what turned everything around.
That's a great clip, Rhonda.
Yeah, I mean, that was just really powerful. I'm so excited. I mean, first of all, Do You Want to Dance is a great movie, and I recommend it highly for anybody. And but Bob Krantz, wow, you talk about being at the lowest of low. He's got all these people around him going, "You're out of your mind." Three babies on the way, no stable source of income, insurance, all this stuff that people are taught in this society that you should desire and expect and work for or whatever, and yet made it work. Isn't that just an amazing story?
Well, yes. You know, he had big names involved early on, it sounded like. Michael Douglas, I mean, really big names, and yet it still wasn't working, which is no different than an online business owner who thinks he's sitting in the whatever seat because he's got some of the biggest names in the internet marketing world ready to promote for him, and they go out and do it, and there's still no sales. Well, you know, that happens every day. And yet he still managed to turn it around and really make it successful, which is awesome.
And part of what it was when they were going to package, and this was from the rest of the interview, but when he said, "Oh, they're going to package it with this Julia Roberts movie or whatever," what that would have meant is what the studios really wanted was this big juicy thing, and they're going to slip this little known thing in there. And so basically all that Bob Krantz would have had was bragging rights to say that his movie was packaged with something else, but it would have never been seen, right? So sometimes when you think, and that's partly why I chose this clip, you know, sometimes you may think, "Oh, if I could just get in with whomever is the big name du jour in your field, right, that if I could just get in with them and have them promote me, I'd be set." And that's just
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. So definitely some really good pearls of wisdom. And that is
awesome. Comes back to mindset every time, doesn't it?
It's really, isn't that funny how that happens? How do we always talk about mindset? Gee. But, yeah, so true. It really does. It comes back to that, and it comes back to sticking to what you know is what you need to be doing and not relying on others, whether you happen to be Greek or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just really love that clip. I enjoyed doing that show. I'm sorry you weren't there that particular day because I know how much you would have loved meeting him. He's just such an amazing person to really go after it in the face of all these things that you would have just logically said, you know, this clearly isn't the time. Maybe in 5 years or maybe at some other time or whatever. And yet that's really what helped you pull it together. So even when you're having your low times or when things don't seem to be going right or when you're facing mountains of tech challenges, as most of us have dealt with if we're in this for any length of time, is just to hold true and to stick with it, keep with your purpose, and keep your mindset strong.
Good way to look at it. Very, very good way to look at it.
So what we have just a few minutes left here, Gina. What kind of insight would you like people to take away from these pearls of wisdom from our past guests?
You really don't have to make building your business and getting it to the levels you want hard. It really can be very easy if you keep in mind that with the right mindset and a little baby bit of action, you really can get huge results. And it all comes down to what we talked about early on today with really serving and making a difference and giving it away while strategically monetizing.
Uh-huh.
And don't listen to all the negative naysayers who tell you it can't be done. If you really do that, if you really build strategically, then go out and give, it can and will work.
Yeah.
And you'll have a great life in the process. You'll probably get better results than you even dreamed about.
Mm-hmm.
How about for you, Rhonda? What are your final thoughts on the subject today?
Well, my final thoughts are really just stick with what you know is your purpose, because when you have that strong message and that strong passion, it is there for a reason. Yeah, it's not just have passion and the money follows. It's definitely have passion and strategically plan it, but still really stick with it, even when things seem to be at their bleakest. Because when you look at any hero's journey story throughout history, throughout any culture, what you see over and over again is this: right after that, if you can stick through that dark night of the soul, that really bleak point that you may have, or those tough times or those challenges or things not going the way that you'd hoped or whatever, and you stick to it, that's when you can really find some strength in you that you never knew you had and make amazing, miraculous things happen.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
So a great opportunity to revisit some of our past amazing clips, of which we have so many terrific guests that we have interviewed over the past couple of years. My goodness, I just look at the list and it's amazing. I think of how many great nuggets there were in each of those shows.
Really were. And what do we got up for everybody next week?
Well, we are going to have some terrific people, all kinds of things in not only social media, but we'll have Mark Nathwani. I'm working on getting the guys from 10,000 Get 10,000 Fans and a few other people. So it's going to be really, really cool, the people that we have coming up that are just making great tracks and have great wisdom to share. So definitely come back next week. We'll have another great episode for you.
That would be awesome. We'll see you all next week. Have a great week. And if you're in the U.S., have a wonderful holiday tomorrow. Happy Independence Day.
Yes, and it's my birthday, and I like celebrating with the country.
Ah, that's awesome. Happy early birthday. Thursday, right?
Wednesday. Tomorrow is my birthday.
Oh, it is on the 4th. I always think it's on the 5th.
No, it's the 4th. Well, have a great 4th, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Bye, Rhonda.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.